This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, team team for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Tuesday morning to you and yours. The show is DPHRO and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN. September the 14th of 2021, and we don't have Mr. Pretty. We do not have Rick DPHRO today. No, instead we have replaced him with Mr. Wonderful, the great Chris Carlin. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
You got a lot prettier, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, no. I'm great.
You really
great,
stepped
David.
Up in attractive levels, yes.
Yeah, same level. Exact same level. Where is Pretty Boy today?
Pretty Boy is in Chicago. They're doing a big NHL meeting for all the on-air talent. Because Rick is going to be, of course, heavily involved in our hockey coverage. He flew out to the Windy City and said, Carlin, tag in and take over.
Yeah, I'm not going to bring anything with me. I am not because it's only an hour earlier. No. I'm taking the day off.
Took the day.
Hobnob.
He took the day. Now, yes. I don't know what time meetings start. Whether he decided, you know what, this is a day that I can sleep in now and not do the show. I don't know the particulars, but yes, he is not doing the show. And you have willingly awakened very early to help us put great radio on the air.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited because there's plenty to talk about, and frankly, it was a heck of an effort by the Yankees yesterday, Dave, but I mean, the mere fact that you needed to put yourself in that situation to begin with, I know they're flat as a pancake from the night before, but still, like, that kind of annoys me more than anything.
Well, you can't afford that, Chris.
No.
I mean, you have put yourself in position where every game is now game seven of the World Series, and I mean, you're all in on every game, and we have what? We have 2 weeks and 6 days left of the regular season, and the Yankees are in a tremendous dogfight. I mean, a tremendous dogfight for anything. Now, if you're just waking up this morning and you're not sure, the Red Sox lost last night. So Blue Jays win, Mariners win, A's don't play, Yankees win. But this next nine-game stretch is, Chris, at a minimum, you have to go 7-2 if you're the Yankees. You have the putrid Baltimore Orioles coming up for a three-game set. I don't even want to hear, let's go win two or three. You're the Yankees. Go sweep this team, for God's sakes.
No, absolutely. There is 7-2, David, is the exact number that's fair. It's exactly fair when you've got Cleveland and Texas after this. And with as bad as it's been against Baltimore the last time around, that should be enough to have you just smack the daylights out of them for 3 days, let alone what's going on with the entire wild card race. But I watch a game like yesterday, and it was so predictable coming off of Sunday night. You've got a 2 p.m. start. You've got the Twins coming in, and they're a team that the Yankees just haven't lost to the Twins. It feels like since the Obama administration, at the very least. And now you fall behind in that game 5-0. Granted, they could have just completely folded the tent for the day, and they didn't because Judge has just been ridiculous. But at the same time, the fact that this has been so up and down, and they 2 weeks ago looked as if, Dave, they should just be making sure they're locked up and Gerrit Cole's lined up for the wild card game and all of that. And now here you are again. I think it just speaks to the larger problem of this team the last couple of years, the inconsistency with how it's constructed.
They're so flawed. And you're right. We had this conversation of, I mean, the only thing you have to do, you want to be home, but you have to make sure that Gerrit Cole is your guy that can pitch in that game. You don't know that. Like mm-hmm. I don't have any confidence that that's going to be the case. The worst nightmare, and I believe this is right, if say the – I'll pick a team. Say the Red Sox are the team that wins the wild card. And then why am I getting music? I don't understand.
It's not Dave's like still cranky from Sunday.
It was the dream transition. Continue.
Dave is still cranky from Sunday. You can see that. That right there is an after effect.
You think so? That's like an aftershock from Sunday?
This is going to continue to be a thing for a while.
I don't agree. I don't agree at all. I think that is I'm questioning why Santiago is playing the dream music.
You were talking about a scenario, so
no.
Just popped it in there.
No, I don't think it's fine. Okay, you know what? You can play it at any point. Really, when we start getting into, like, Mekhi Becton and the injury. Yeah. This brings me back to... No, it doesn't bring me back at all. It's something I'm looking in the future to, but fine.
Have you eaten your granola bar or your
my protein bar
this morning?
I did. I'm not in a good way, though. I'll be honest. No, I'm not. How could I be in a good way? My football team is on the verge of collapse. I mean, it's still beautiful weather outside, and my football team is on the verge of being done. I'm on no sleep at all. It's only Tuesday. I mean, I have a lot of things going against me. I don't like the Yankees, so now I have to sit here and discuss this baseball team that I can't stand that finds their way out of a 5-0 hole last night. But if I can get back to my original point, sans music, I would appreciate that. We need to go around the league, and we will next right here. That's when did you hear about this, Carlin?
I did not.
Yeah, so yesterday, because I'm A, exhausted, and B, completely stressed out. Stop it! The music, for God's sake. Okay? A, exhausted. B, completely stressed out. We're in the middle of a segment, and I just went to break. We need to go around the league, and we will next, right here.
That was it. And how long was there dead silence for?
No! So the guys, this is great, the guys decide, oh God, we better play a commercial because this fool has actually gone to a non-existent break. So... We go to the non-existent break, and Santiago says, all right. He says, read the Blue Chew read. And I look at my read, and I'm incensed with him because I sit here and I say in my mind, but the Blue Chew read is not for another 15 minutes. I was like, get on your game, Santiago, I'm thinking to myself. And I do this read, and he goes, all right, we're going to come back now. I'm like, you're going to come back now? We didn't even have the break. And the guy said to me, you idiot. You threw to it. There is no break there. And I'm like, oh, no break there. Right. So, yes. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, that's a rough way to start the season. And as you said, like, I would even put it even a little different way. Like, we're still not at the point yet where the sun is going down at 5:00.
No.
And the season's over for football.
I mean, it's fair to say, and this is your fault, Santiago, that you've got me off track here. It's fair to say that Thursday night, if the Giants do not win, the season is over. And I mean that sincerely.
I know you do.
I sincerely mean that. All right. Can I get back to my original point? Without the music.
Please. Okay. I'm just along for the ride.
I know, and you've done nothing. I'm not just my anger and upset is not with you. Okay? You're just the person on the other end of the phone. So let's, for argument's sake, say the Red Sox win the number one wild card, right?
Right.
Yankees tie with Toronto. You would now play Toronto one game just to see who took on the Red Sox in one game, just to see who takes on Tampa in five games, right?
Right. You don't need the play into the wild card to get to the wild card. And then, honestly, Dave, beyond Cole right now, the guy that I would feel most comfortable is Nestor Cortez.
Yeah, I was going to guess. But yes, I would agree with you. Especially on the heels of what Montgomery was the other day. He was brutal.
Oh, he's too much of a roller coaster right now. You know, there's nobody else that I feel terribly confident in at this point, and
it can't
you can
be
really.
I mean, it can't be.
Yeah,
right. It's not. So it's not Kluber. It's not. Nope. It's not Heal.
No, not after yesterday.
He wouldn't be anyway.
Right.
There's no way in a clutch moment you're going to trot out, you know, Heel onto the mound. But you're right. It's Gerrit Cole. But here's my point. God forbid you're the Yankees and one of two things. Either you have to have the play-in just to get to the wild card, or, I mean, I think it's very realistic, Chris, that on Saturday, last weekend of the season, against the Rays, you in theory could have to pitch Gerrit Cole. Yeah. What happens if that happens?
Yeah. If you do, then you are trying to cobble it together, which is in essence what they're trying to do here, just to get to an off day 10 days from now, 12 days from now, whatever it is. I mean, this stretch of 20 in a row is absolutely brutal, and it does have a feeling to it of, okay, let's just, it has the playoff feeling to it, but not in a good way. The playoff feeling to it of, we just have to win today. I'll worry about tomorrow. You can't have that on September 13th or 14th. And that's what it feels like in a lot of ways right now.
Because it's bad.
Yeah, with that pen and with the way things are, I would find it incredibly frustrating to be a Yankee fan and to see what this has been the last 2 years, to see a team that so very quickly can go from being dominant to being horrible. And it just happens in the snap of a finger. And it happens for an extended stretch.
And look at the expectations for this year. You know, people say, well, we're right there with Boston. We're right there with Toronto. The expectation was not that you would be fighting mid-September for a wild card spot.
No.
Right? The expectation was you would be fighting for the division or leading the division or in comfortable shape and not have to worry about who am I going to throw on Tuesday, September 14th with 2.5 weeks left of the season and what kind of position am I going to be in hoping that I'm in the wild card game. That is not what the Yankees hope for. So you look at Toronto, nobody thought Toronto would be here. You look at Boston, nobody thought Boston would be in this situation. And those are the two teams that you're fighting tooth and nail with. That's a bad job by the Yankees this season.
Terrible. And what you're seeing right now is what people thought was in the rearview mirror for good the first half of the year. What you're seeing is a team that had to go 35-11 after the All-Star break to get out and position themselves to even be in the playoffs. Think about that for a second. To even be there and be in that number one wild card spot, they had to go to 35-11. That tells you that right now you are paying for what was a terrible first half. You are not like that buffer that at least should have been there, or the 5 or 6 more wins that should have been there, you wouldn't be in this situation. And that, to me, is where it gets absolutely frustrating. I made this same point to a degree about the Mets, and people were just hammering me on it, that if you had at least put together a first half where you won 3 to 4 more games, it would be completely different, and the opportunities were there to do it. And fans were, well, the injuries, well, this, well, that, whatever. You had an average first half at best.
Oh, the Mets are just, you talk about the Yankees with a disappointing season. The Mets are just, they're horrendous.
And well, both of them in that same kind of boat. Like, okay, you turned it on, but it can be too little too late when it's in the second half of the year and you have major ground to make up. I almost compare it to like an NBA team, Dave, when they're down by 20, they come back and cut it to 2, but they can't get over the hump because they've expended all that energy.
I like that. It's a nice analogy.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of that. Let's hear from the Yankees skipper, who's always... Have you ever heard of a more optimistic guy than Aaron Boone, by the way?
No. Absolutely not.
You think of him as like a kid that takes the car that goes on a joyride? You know, 14-year-old kid takes the car. They come home and he's like, "Listen, it's okay, it's fine. I mean, we're gonna make it work. It doesn't matter.
You gotta believe.
I still love you. Things are fine."
Remember when Art Howe used to be, you know, we battled, we scuffled, all that. Like, Boone's taking it to another level.
I mean,
and I like Aaron Boone, but he's taking it to another
level. I like him a lot. And he used to be at ESPN, and he was a terrific guest and a really nice man.
Yeah.
But can you ever say anything critical of your team ever?
No, not once.
He won't do it.
He won't do it. And I, Dave, in a lot of ways, I get the feeling like that's just his job. That's like when you list the managerial responsibilities down, like that might be number two or number three on the list.
Yeah.
Don't
play
rip
nice
the team.
All the time. All right.
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah, he doesn't know. Here is Aaron Boone. How much confidence do you have in your team at the moment?
Yeah, it hasn't changed. I'm confident in this group. I know what we're capable of at our best. We've been a little bit of everything this year, so it's going to take our best. But if we do that, we've got a chance. And hopefully we continue to get maybe some guys into the fold more and more as we go. Garrett going for us tomorrow. But, you know, nothing will surprise me that this group does.
But can't you say that about any team, Chris? If we play our best, we've got a chance? I mean, if the Mets play their best, they got a chance. If the Cardinals play their best, they have a chance. If Boston, Toronto, yes, in theory, in any sport ever, if you play your best, you're going to have a chance to compete, you would think.
He meant it in a much different way. He meant it like any kind of an unbelievable run will not surprise me. But at the end, when he says anything this team does will not surprise me, right. There's never been a more appropriate statement.
You don't know what you're. I mean, within the course of a game, I've never seen such a bipolar team in the course of a game. They come out yesterday, and I'm on cloud nine. I talk to RJ. I'm like, oh, Yankees down 4-0, RJ. Then it becomes 5-0. And I'm like, you know what? The Twins have a real chance, forgetting for a moment that it is, in fact, the Twins.
You think you have the old rocking chair game where you kind of sit back and just enjoy what you're seeing.
Because I've given up on the Mets. Like, I watch, and I watched last night's disaster, but I'm done. Like, I am not emotionally invested in the Mets anymore. The Yankees, I enjoy watching them fail, and I thought that was going to happen yesterday until Judge with, I mean, how good has he been, huh?
He's been ridiculous. I'm one of the guys that hasn't necessarily been a Judge guy because of all the injuries and because I feel like in a couple of years, you're basically going to have two of the same player with him and with Stanton if you are re-signing him. Because I don't think we're 5 years away from Judge being a DH. I think we're probably, with his body type, I think we're probably 3 years away from that being the case. And so you're going to be stuck with the same player in so many ways. Having said that, he's been healthy this year, and he's been fantastically clutch. I would argue that he has been more clutch this year than he has ever been in his career. If you go look at it statistically,
he has been sensational.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you remember
when it first started? All right, welcome to the Burn Bam Bar Mitzvah. It is DiPietro. Rothenberg with you, but Carlin in for Rick.
Do you know this was, I requested this to be on our list for my wedding.
Yeah, this is a bar mitzvah wedding, get out on the dance floor song, right?
I don't know why I love it so much, but I just do. I love it.
Who doesn't?
I know, but I can't explain why I love it so much. I'm not even an Earth, Wind, and Fire guy.
But everybody likes that song, and it puts you in a good mood.
It really does.
How many years have you been married?
14?
14. That's a good number.
Yeah. So I mean, far, you know.
Like, there's a really good chance you guys are going to go the distance. Like, 14's a legitimate professional number.
Eh.
No?
I mean, listen, I myself have no qualms about that, but I'm not the one to be asking. I mean,
so
I don't know if you
was
can
one
tell,
person,
Dave.
If like, there was one person in the marriage. What's your wife's name?
Cheryl.
Cheryl. And I have I have Sherry, so that's interesting.
Well, there you go.
If there was one person in the marriage that would up and leave, it would be her?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I'm a bit much. I can be a bit much.
How often do you think your wife is like, oh, God, Chris?
Let me tell you something. Like, you joked with me last time about the CPAP machine.
Does that still hurt you, by the way? I'm sorry.
No. No, it doesn't. The CPAP machine may have saved my marriage.
Because
the snoring factor.
Oh, she doesn't like that.
She would have just absolute, like, if she had a
bat
some of those nights.
But you guys wouldn't go to separate bedrooms before you would go to separate lives?
No, I don't think so. No. But there were plenty of times where it was, you know, she ends up leave it and go into the couch and just angry at me.
And you wake up at 5:30 in the morning like, Cheryl, where are you, honey?
Yeah, let's go up and at him.
And she's, you know, on the couch.
And the problem with the snoring, Dave, at the time was it's not even like a nice, even white noise snoring where it's just consistent. It was... it's one of those. It was like an ugly snore.
So how restful could the sleep be that you're getting if you're snoring to that level, by the way?
At that point, I thought it was restful. I haven't known restful sleep since I got the CPAP.
It's amazing. Why do you play the way back music for Carlin when he's talking about something actually way back? Yeah, there you go. Right there would be appropriate. Should we go to break? No?
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, yeah, listen, I can speak for myself. I'm good. I'm not going anywhere, but, you know, unlike Aaron Boone, at this point, nothing's going to surprise me.
Nothing's going to surprise you, and nothing's going to surprise anybody. And the Yankees are a team, and thank God they got that win. Could you imagine what the calls would be like this morning? We'll get to your calls in a moment, 800-919-3776. What the calls would be like this morning if the Yankees would have lost that game yesterday? Because fan, Chris, is teetering to begin with. If you had lost a game to the Twins on a Monday afternoon when you need it, desperately need it, I could imagine what people would feel like this.
And it would have gotten like two hit and shut out. Yeah. That would have been absolutely brutal. And understandably so. And Dave, here's the thing. It was so easily predictable to see that kind of a game happen after what happened Sunday night. I'll tell you what, though, what I was very encouraged by with what did happen Sunday night. A little bit of nastiness for once from the Yankees and from the Mets, for that matter. Like, there has not been an edge or the jerk factor. I could put it another way, but there has not been that jerk factor to either team really this year. And I feel like they both kind of need that. You know, the first two parts of the 86 Mets thing is airing tonight. And I'm not comparing anybody to the 86 Mets anymore. I mean, obviously, it's a whole different era. But when you go back and look, the fact that they had that part to them, if you're a Met fan at the time, you really, like, enjoyed that. But, like, everybody hated them, and there was a reason why you, as a Met fan, would enjoy that. Because it was a huge part of their success,
absolutely.
As you'll see.
Absolutely. So you've seen that the first two parts of the 86 Mets documentary?
I've seen the whole thing.
You've seen? So can I ask you this?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Everyone at the station has seen the entirety of the Mets thing, except for me. How did you watch the whole thing?
Somebody from PR sent me the link to watch it.
See,
I don't know.
I think it's fair to say that you're more well-liked at ESPN than I am.
No, I don't think that's it. I think it's you just got hosed and you're not on the right list. I don't even know how I got on the list because somebody else, like Peter, got it first. And then I'm thinking, all right, how do I get on this list? And then it just showed up the next day.
It's amazing. I do not understand how everyone at the station is on the list to watch this. By the way, did you know this? This is my idea. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
So I went to 30 for 30, the people that run 30 for 30. I'm not going to give a name.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a contact that I had, and I said, listen, Jeff Perlman, you know who Jeff Perlman is, right?
And he's prominently featured.
Right. So I said, a friend of mine, I talked to Jeff and a production company ready to go, and I said, listen, the 86 Mets, I think it's a phenomenal story, and I think that it would be well told, and I think we should run it up the ladder, I said to this person. And they said, no, nobody cares about the 86 Mets. No.
Was that Mark Chernoff?
No.
It
was not Mark Chernoff. In fact, I'm not going to tell you who it was.
Okay.
But, yeah, but I use the voice because I'm so annoyed. So every time I have to get involved with something with the 86 Mets, I'm like, this was my idea. And then Fancy Jimmy Kimmel comes walking down the road and like, oh, Jimmy, Mookie, Strawberry, Coney, McDowell, Orozco, Wally Backman, right? Come on, let's do it. 86 Mets, what an idea.
You're like Kramer when he had the idea for the cologne, the ocean.
Yeah. I should forward you the email And then we had this whole long conversation. I was like, well, here, well, but nobody cares. People want current. They want real. I'm like, the 86 Mets are such a phenomenal story. No. No, I ran it by a couple people here in the 30 for 30 Films Center, and we've decided we have no interest in the 86 Mets. Yeah, until Jimmy Kimmel comes walking down the road.
Yeah, exactly. A week later. You know who? You know what we should do? 86 Mets. Great idea. Yes.
Right?
Absolutely,
Mr. Late
Night.
Probably the very same person. Probably the very same person.
Yep.
So now I don't even get. So I have
And
gone
you can't
from,
even watch it now.
I've gone from this is my idea. This is my baby, right? Dave. You know, we're gonna pass on this idea to do a documentary on the 86 Mets to the point where I can't even get the password to get in to watch the show before anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, that's insulting. That is, I would absolutely take that personally.
Well, and I do, and I should.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Let's get to a couple of Yankees calls, and I have a couple of things that I'm noticing just in my world. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Brian in Milburn. Brian, good morning. Lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Sammy, you got a real live day. The reason why you didn't get the pass cold defeated 30 for 30. You know, when you're great, you got a lot of hate come your way, you know? Now, I got a good question. Did they really fire Girardi to hire a yes man?
Yeah. They moved on from Girardi, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because okay, we're going to be realistic about it. This man has not got us even close to where Girardi had got us. So did you just get him just so, you know, so he won't give you back talk on certain decisions that you want to make by your analytic people?
Well, that's not entirely true. I mean, they have gotten to game 7 of the ALCS, so let's not get crazy. He hasn't gotten them even close. He has gotten them relatively close a couple of years ago, but the job of manager, well, we just all have to accept and understand, has just completely changed. And unless you are a team that wants to buck the trend, which the Yankees are not, they are going to get a manager who is going to be on board with what they want to do with the lineup. And the manager's job is to take the bullets for the team not playing well and to take the bullets when the results from that lineup are not there. Or when you want to complain about the fact that a player is, you know, getting load management, so to speak. That's in essence what his job is now.
Now, you say that that's his job, and you're right, and it is. But that's, Chris, almost what a manager has become in Major League Baseball. This is not unique to the Yankees. I mean, look at Luis Ross. Look around baseball. Of the 30 managers out there, I would say, 26 are these middlemen who are going to do what the back office guys want them, in fact, to do.
Yeah. And you know, unless you want to buck the trend, that's absolutely what it is. And at some point, it'll shift back the other way, right? Because at some point, a team will have success with a manager that's more of an older school type manager, or more of a, not a tough guy, but a guy that has a good combination of positivity and backing guys up with being able to deliver the message at the right time. But for instance, like, everybody that's screaming for Buck Showalter to come through the door for the Mets, it's not happening.
No.
Or for the Yankees, it's not happening.
No, because
not
teams don't want to hire a guy that's going to do what he wants to do. And when he's told, like, we want you to bench this guy, or we want you to, you know, set your bullpen up like this, or set your lineup up like this, is going to say, No, I'm not doing that. I'm managing the team. Get out of my way.
It's more likely that it could happen for the Mets just because of the Steve Cohen factor. If he completely cleans house across the board and tells whoever his GM is, I want Buck Showalter to be my manager. You know, that's the only way that happens.
Which I think the Mets fan would love.
Oh, they'd absolutely love it. They wouldn't be able to get enough of it.
It's what the Mets could use, actually.
The Mets can use a lot of things, and Sandy Alderson ain't one of them.
No, I agree. And by the way, I'm sure he's a nice guy. Luis Rojas is a horrendous manager, Chris. I mean, horrendous.
Dave, it reminds me of, and so many people, including a couple of players on other teams, actually say to me at the time when they hired him, like, this is brilliant. You don't understand. Like, this is a guy that all these players have come up with, and he's really respected around the game. Okay, that's great. But we both know that there are guys who players love as coaches as they're coming up, but are just not managers. And I don't think that Luis Rojas is a manager.
No, he's not. And I'll tell you another thing. He will not be a manager for long. And no. I hate to celebrate when guys lose their jobs, but when he is let go after the season, I will not shed a tear, Chris, because I think he's done a dreadful, dreadful job with this team.
Yeah, I don't think he's the biggest problem, but he's not going to be here. And neither is the GM. What I still don't understand is, and maybe it'll change by the end of the season, but Sandy still speaks as if you notice the little, the angle for him that got out last week was, you know, he was never supposed to be doing baseball stuff. It was kind of like he signed a 2-year deal here to just, you know, help with the transition, and he was not supposed to be involved with baseball operations. Well, they didn't hire a president, so they shifted over to the GM, and then they hired a GM who was a pervert.
Right.
Yeah. And after they hired a manager a couple of years ago who was basically the same thing. And, you know, Zach Scott gets a DUI. I'm not excusing it at all. But it's a lot of bad hires in a short period of time.
It's just a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah.
You know, just for the Mets. I mean, how many of these are you going to have where, you know, you can't just, the Mets just can't lose. Like, there are teams in baseball, Chris, that they lose. You're like, all right, they lost. It's unfortunate. They were supposed to be good. They're not that good. It stinks because we had expectations that they'd be better. But why every single step of the way do you have to embarrass yourselves? Like, that's a special kind of pathetic, and that's what – and I thought it was kind of exclusive to the Wilpons. And you know, color me ridiculous, because I thought when they moved on from the Wilpons to Steve Cohen that you'd snap the fingers and it would be – completely different. It's exactly the same. And I think Buster Olney was on with us last week, and he said he's heard from people it might be worse now than it was when the Wilpons owned this team. Yeah.
I don't think you were alone in thinking that. We thought the stupid drama had left town, and that's not the case. And I don't look, I know the whole, you know, people talk about cursed and stupid things and it's only the Mets and all that stuff. I don't understand how you can continue to botch PR like this over the last couple of years, in particular, with stupid stuff like this. It truly is only the Mets. If you're Zach Scott getting a DUI, considering everything that's gone on this year, putting yourself in that situation, I mean, just how dumb can you be?
It's amazing. But, I mean, you go back to last year. You remember the statement, we can't fine you an assessment? Is,
I mean, during the game!
During the game! It's like, why is Cespedes not playing? Well, we can't find him. I mean, what?
He's off having the Lou Williams wings down at the strip club in Atlanta.
I mean, it really is incredible. All right, I have pet peeves.
Go.
Can I bring one up to you and you tell me if, in fact, it's my neuroses or you have a similar pet peeve and you just haven't voiced it yet?
Okay.
I cannot take it when a guy hits a 460-foot home run and the ball is crushed off the bat and the pitcher turns and points upward as if, all right, just it's right there, just settle under it and find a way to catch it.
Well, can of corn, fellas.
I mean, I think Diaz started the trend. I see heel yesterday. If you watch the Sano home run, he points up like, all right, that'll be an easy one for you out there, Gallo. Just, you know, settle right under. What? First of all, these are professional outfielders. They are more than capable of finding the baseball without you pointing up to the sky. Why is this now? And I don't ever remember this being the case. Why is this happening around the game of baseball?
You know what they should just do? You should turn around. Instead of pointing up, point out, guys, like, don't bother, that thing's gone.
Right. Don't even turn around because, yeah, or just do like a circular motion with the finger, like a 360 kind of motion.
Yeah.
Don't even turn because that thing is way out of here.
It's like the Mark Sasso softball game that we played in a few weeks ago. The other team are ringers, and they're hitting bombs left and right. They don't even make them round the bases. They just point, yep, wrap it up. That's a home run.
Oh,
okay,
I don't like that at all.
Huh?
I think part of the allure of hitting a home run, not that I've ever done such, is that you now get to round the bases.
Exactly. But we were, they let us do it because we were clearly,
did
not
you
that
hit
I
one
did
out?
Either. You know, LaGreca's hitting bombs left and right. But they let us do it, but the other team is like, no. And after three of them, it was now. Like, I can't tell you, last week, I was on the air at the time when Diaz did that against Miami. And that ball, like, you knew when it was hit that it was at least hitting the wall. I mean, it was so far out to the deepest part of the ballpark. And you're pointing up like, got us, fellas. We're good.
Yeah, don't worry. That's I don't know if it's Lindor Baez that's going to make the catch on this one, but that should wrap up the game. Like, stop it.
Why don't you just turn, look to the umpire. Infield fly rule, right? We got it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Or just walk off the mound. Don't even bother backing up. I'll just walk off and get ready for the next inning. So you agree with me.
Oh,
this
absolutely.
This is something that bothers you as well.
It thoroughly annoys me.
And he did the same. Do you remember when they allowed like 7 runs to the Pirates when they had that lead? I think it was on a Sunday. And the game-winning walk-off home run, and Pilar like literally dove into the 12th row of the stands. He did the same thing on that one. He's pointing up like, don't worry, Kevin, you shouldn't really have to even move for this one. That should be. I wonder what the outfielder is thinking. Like, what are you doing? You're pointing up as if I'm going to make a routine can of corn catch, and I have to now dive into the crowd.
Are you pointing up as if to say, look, guys, that one's going to hit the moon?
Right. Or, God, please help me here because I'm in massive trouble. Is that why you're pointing up?
I you're not alone on that one.
Okay.
Massive pet peeve. Totally agree.
I mean, do you not find that it's happening more and more now?
I think it is happening more and more, and it's like, you don't play golf, right?
No.
Like, I had a buddy, like, it's almost comical. I had a buddy who, like, duffed a shot off the tee and yelled out as he hit it 40 yards, get legs!
As if saying something like that is magically going to make this turn into a shot by Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's not headed for the swamp. No, 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 no. You talking to it is going to get it right back into
legs.
The fairway.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. All right, good. I'm glad that we see eye to eye.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole. It's in the hole.
I was fearful that you were going to go the other way and you and I were going to have to fight about this, and I didn't want that to be the case. So
I'm
very pleased that you see eye to eye on this one.
When it happened, Dave, I was on the air. And I'm not even a Met fan, but there are things like that aggravate me where I think I almost picked something off my desk and wanted to throw it. Like, really? Just please.
You know what? You know what it reminds me of? It's another one of these things. If your team is losing by 14 points or 17 points in football, and you're the corner and you come up and you make a big tackle and you stand over the guy and you kind of dance around and you taunt him a little bit, it's like, do you understand what's happening? Like, you're getting hammered in the game. You don't have the right. You make the tackle. You tap a teammate on the helmet, and you get back to the huddle, and you go about it again.
The arms folded, you know, when you do that as a corner, like, you come up and fold the arms, like, yep, I'm the guy, and you're down 21 points. Stop.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. All right, let's take a listen to a little bit more Aaron Boone. We're going to get to the football at 6 o'clock. And are you prepared for CMT at 6:45?
Not remotely.
No?
No.
So you were not up late last night preparing for Cuddle Mary Trash?
No. No.
Do you know how to play?
Yes.
Okay.
But isn't it like a new version now? Like, it's a different version than it used to be?
Yeah, I don't even know what we do anymore, to be honest. But just follow my lead.
You got it.
Follow my lead. And then you're not a Jets fan, right? You're a Steelers fan.
Correct.
Because I was going to say one of your favorite quarterbacks, but I guess it's probably not true. Chad Pennington's going to join us at 7:35 this morning.
I've always found him enjoyable. He's a lovely person.
You know, he's a Rhodes Scholar?
Yes.
So when he joins us, it's fair to say he will be the smartest one on the show.
It's not fair to say. It's accurate.
Yeah, it's very, very accurate. All right. Aaron Boone, how thankful are you that your team got the win yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, huge. I mean, obviously a quick turnaround from a long late night last night. And they throw a four spot on us there in the first inning. But you know, credit to Luis. I mean, you know, obviously giving up four runs there, a couple homers, to be able to go through six innings, not be fazed by it, just continue to compete and, you know, allow us to do something special late.
Now, it's always, you know, optimistic, positive, things are great, kumbaya with Aaron Boone. But I will agree with him with this. That was a great job by Heal yesterday.
Yeah.
Because it easily could have gotten away. And a couple things. They can't have afforded him to give you 3 1/3 and rely on the bullpen for, you know, 5+ innings. And he's a young kid. And he's never gone through this at the major league level where he's had a game where he doesn't have his best stuff and he's smacked around. It's been just the opposite where it's been perfect for him so far. So to watch him get past struggles, very impressive.
Totally. And more than anything, it's what they just needed. I mean, games like that, if he doesn't do that, that's how you end up in a 2-2 game with Sal Romano on the mound. You know, that's how that happens, because as we've discussed, this stretch of 20 consecutive games where you're going to have days where you just can't use guys and you're going to run into tricky spots, those get caused by days like yesterday if it gets away from you quickly. And for him to
very easily could have, you know, crumbled up in the corner and given you 4 1/3 of 7 runs, and they have to take him out.
Yep.
And
yep.
He didn't. So he's a young kid. You give him a lot of credit for that yesterday.
There is something to be said for being able to put it in a rear view pretty quickly. That's
yep.
for sure.
Moxie. I like to use
Moxie.
Moxie. Yep.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.